This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. And that's a commercial that Michael Jackson and his brothers did to the tune of Billie Jean for Pepsi many years ago. Pepsi has had lots of celebrities doing commercials for them. Beyonce's in them now. Britney Spears has done them. And many other stars through the years. I will be honest with you and tell you that I am a Pepsi drinker. I prefer the taste of Pepsi over Coca-Cola. But as a Pepsi drinker, I was a little disturbed this week to see a story from the Center for Environmental Health that says that Pepsi still contains a cancer-causing agent. So I've asked Charles Margolis, who is the communications director for the Center for Environmental Health, to join me here on America Weekend. Hi, Charles. How worried should I be?
Well, this is a chemical that is known to cause cancer. In the Pepsis that we tested in 10 states outside of California, we found 4 to 8 times the level that triggers a safety warning in California. So if those Pepsis were sold here in Oakland, the bottles would have to be labeled warning. This product contains a chemical known to the state of California to cause cancer. Most people probably wouldn't want to drink that.
All right, now, explain to me here, because I'm a little confused. California has different rules about what can be in its soft drinks than the rest of the country?
Well, California has one of the strongest consumer protection laws in the country. It's known as Proposition 65. And what the law says is if a product exposes consumers to chemicals that could cause cancer or chemicals that can cause serious reproductive health hazards, that those products have to carry a warning label. And yes, that's a unique law here in California that is not covered in the rest of the country.
Just a warning label? The state of California can't tell people you can't sell that here?
That's right. So it's a warning label, but what that gives is tremendous disincentive to companies to sell products with cancer-causing chemicals. So what most companies do, instead of putting a warning label on, is they simply reformulate their products and get those chemicals out. And in March of 2012, both Coke and Pepsi said that's what they would be doing. They would be eliminating this cancer-causing chemical. Both companies said they would do that first in California, and then shortly thereafterwards, they would do it for the rest of the country. That's why we tested Coke and Pepsi both here in California and from outside of California. All the products we tested here in California were fine, but 10 out of 10 Pepsis that we bought from outside of California still had high levels of that chemical.
Why didn't they just change it for the whole country at the same time?
Yeah, that's what we want to know. obviously, Coke was able to do this. We tested 10 Coke products, and 9 out of 10 of the Coke products were still fine. So since Coke was able to do it, we're very concerned that Pepsi has not been able to do it, and the company really hasn't explained why their products still contain this chemical.
Well, I have a quote from a statement from Pepsi which says that they will complete the transition of the new caramel coloring by February of 2014, that efforts are underway to switch the color formulation for sodas distributed globally, and, quote, the FDA and other regulatory agencies around the world, including the European Food Safety Authority and Health Canada, consider our caramel coloring safe for use in foods and beverages, unquote. Obviously, you disagree with that.
Well, the scientists in the state of California disagree with that, and this is not the first time that California has been ahead of federal regulators when it comes to safety studies. So, for example, in 1987, California added lead to the list of products known to cause serious reproductive health hazards, and that helped us eliminate lead problems from hundreds of children's products. So Center for Environmental Health, for example, using this California law, forced the baby bib industry, the children's lunchbox industry, children's jewelry companies to get lead out of their products and eliminate lead hazards to children. But it wasn't until 2008 that the federal government finally took action and banned lead from all children's products. So California was almost 20 years ahead of the federal government when it came to lead safety, and that happens again and again with chemicals that are known to cause cancer and other serious health problems.
Why is that? Is the federal government just influenced much more by lobbying groups like the American Beverage Association?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think that definitely major industries hold a lot of sway in our political process and tend to slow down regulations and delay regulations. And California is just much more proactive and able to really listen to what people want. Obviously, people don't want cancer-causing chemicals in the products that they use, especially something like soda, where we found from a Gallup poll in 2012 that the average American who drinks soda drinks 2.5 glasses of soda a day. I mean, that's something that's obviously a lot of consumption. If you can get a cancer-causing ingredient out of the soda, you should.
Now, the FDA, I'm sure you know this, Charles, issued a statement last year before the formulation of the caramel coloring was changed, stating that a consumer would have to drink more than 1,000 cans of soda a day to reach the doses that have been shown to lead to cancer in rodents. So if the FDA is looking at that way and saying, you know what, these are such small doses, A, are they right on the science? And B, does that mean that it's unlikely that they're going to be moving forward to take the to follow the lead of California?
Well, right, but the FDA also said in response to the statement just yesterday that they're still working on the science on this. And what the California science has said is a person who drinks a can of Pepsi just twice a week would exceed the safety level that triggers a warning here in California. That's obviously something that most Pepsi drinkers are exceeding, not just twice a week, but they're exceeding that every single day.
All right, so if we're talking about a carcinogen here, that would seem to be the kind of word, cancer would be the kind of word that any major corporation would want to shy away from. Is part of the reason that they are not changing the caramel coloring because it might affect the taste of Pepsi? I'm asking, we can't know for Pepsi, but we can certainly know for Coke because they changed theirs a year ago. Did the taste of Coca-Cola change when they changed their caramel coloring?
If it changed, nobody's noticed because obviously sales of Cokes hasn't changed at all. You haven't seen consumer complaints about the new taste of Coke. It's obvious that the companies have been able to make this change without changing the taste. Caramel coloring is simply produced on an industrial scale in ways that creates this chemical as a byproduct. And obviously what the companies that make caramel coloring were able to do for Coke was to change their change the way that they make their product so that it doesn't cause this chemical. But obviously the caramel coloring is the same because nobody's complaining about the taste of Coke.
Yeah, we're not going through a new Coke thing, and so Pepsi can't be worried about the taste. I don't know why they would be dragging their feet on this. Is it expensive for them to make a change?
I don't believe, we don't know for certain, but I don't believe that the suppliers have changed their prices at all. The caramel coloring, I would expect, is a very minor part of the price of what goes into a Coke. I'm sure they spend a lot more on marketing every year than they spend on caramel coloring.
Yeah. What about other brown sodas, Dr. Pepper, Mr. Pibb, A&W Root Beer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Do they use this same caramel coloring, and should we worry about there being that cancer-causing agent in them?
Well, we expect Coke and Pepsi are obviously the market leaders, and once they make a change, that creates a ripple in the supply chain. So it opens up a supply of caramel coloring that's free of this chemical for everybody. Before the companies made the change, we did do some testing, including testing of root beers and other products. We did find some levels of the chemical in those other products, but lower than colas. Colas tend to have the most because caramel coloring is actually a major ingredient in colas. If you look at the label, cola is basically water, sugar, and caramel coloring. You know, after that, it's a few flavorings and spices to make the cola taste. But those are minor ingredients compared to the coloring and sugar.
I mentioned before that Pepsi has announced that they're going to look at changing it globally as well. Whatever happens in the U.S. doesn't necessarily reflect changes that companies make outside the U.S., though, correct?
It doesn't necessarily, but again, in this case, we think it will, just because the suppliers of caramel coloring, there are really only a couple of major suppliers, and once they change for the U.S., it's really easier for them to make the change everywhere rather than have two different kinds of caramel coloring that they make for products everywhere else. It's just easy to have one simple product that you sell to everybody.
Right. Makes perfect sense to me. And as a person who consumes this product, I'm certainly keeping my eyes open and will be listening for what Pepsi's response is. Charles Margolis, Communications Director for the Center for Environmental Health. Thanks for joining me here today.
All right, thank you. Take care.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. America.